The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Peter Rosethorne. No liquids in the studio, please. Mm. None at all. Welcome to another ultra-safe week of Get This around the nation. We've got Peter Rosethorne on board.
More than a pleasure to be back. I'm so surprised. Oh, can I help?
Well, we think of something he can help us with today, Ed.
Sure, bring it on. I can solve anything.
Have you bought a mobile phone that's new but actually full of porn?
Crikey, that's a lucky phone.
We'll be checking in with Jack Johnson again. Oh, fair bit of movie talk, even though it's not our movie show. Look, it's all coming up on Get This.
We shouldn't imagine that something like this couldn't happen in Australia.
Oh, that'd be dire straits. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another week of Get This. Myself, Tony Martin. That's Ed Cavalier
morning,
over there.
Morning.
Oh, it's Peter Rosethorne.
Yes.
If you would.
Please, if I don't mind taking that splattery. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hang on. Some crumbs on the seat. Ed, have you been sitting here, man?
Don't.
A little bit.
Spray little Weet-Bix crumbs everywhere. Disgraceful.
Spray where I like.
We were just...
where he likes.
Off air, we were recalling that stunning animation, that blocky animation in that Money for Nothing clip.
Cutting edge. Very edgy at the time.
That was very dangerous at the time.
It's so old, it's new now.
Is it?
You know, like it's retro and kind of cool.
Is that coming back?
Oh, yeah. It's back.
Right.
Is it?
I think so. I feel confident saying that.
It contains sizzle.
Ed is here to tell us what the young people are up to.
Oh, yeah.
What are they doing?
Oh, they're all talking dire straits, I can tell you that.
That's what I hear.
They're talking headbands.
There's nothing but dire straits out there.
It's making them nigelated.
Yeah. What is that? What,
you even don't know.
What's nigelated?
That's some word the young people are using. I don't know what it means. You might test it. I presume daggy,
is it?
Yeah, I was just thinking then.
Nigel was
someone who didn't have any friends, right. Dag, and if they were nigelated, they were, you know, kind of ostracized, away from the group, out of my texting arena.
Zone.
Zone.
So would this be a nigelated program?
Massively.
Oh,
jeez. Wow.
Yeah. You reckon?
Oh, I reckon.
We're not nigelated, are we?
Oh, we are now. You're pretty nigelated. You host Can We Help? That's nigelated that is, from word to go.
Well, I think as a cult, nigelistic.
It's cult.
It's cult.
Culty.
Cult Nigel.
Since you were in here last, Peter, has the Can We Help team on the ABC.
We are a team.
Have you met the others? Have you been stumped? Has anything happened that you just couldn't get happening?
Oh, look, we failed to solve many problems.
Yeah?
Yeah, we have a big challenge, and we send it out, and we give it to the audience to solve for
us.
Nothing, we've got nothing back.
Right.
We've done 16 episodes.
Yeah.
We have not solved one big challenge yet.
What are they? What were some of the big challenges?
Oh, massive things like flying Kennedy, I think his name's Kennedy. His next rugby player in the 60s wore white boots and he lost them. We're trying to find him.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't find
nothing.
Last seen hanging over a crossbar in London. So hopefully some bloke from London somehow is watching the show on the internet or something. Goes, oh, I got them.
There's always a pair of shoes hanging on the power lines in my street.
It's the same theory.
I'll check them if you want.
Frame them up.
Hey, here's one for you. Angry Anderson soapbox.
Yes.
From the old midday show. I've been trying to track that down for over 10 years.
What soapbox?
Did you find it?
Angry Anderson used to come out and get up on Angry Soapbox, but there was actually a little soapbox.
Only so
you
can get the shot on the camera.
It had Angry on the side. When we went to Channel 9, I searched for a day and night, couldn't find it. I want to see if it retains any angry powers.
Well, I can look into that for you.
What else have you been doing, Peter? Are you on tour?
I've been doing a little bit of regional touring, which is quite rare for me.
Now, hang on, you've been regional touring since the mid-80s.
I have.
Have things changed now that you're famous off the Kath and Kim?
One startling fact, I can pull a crowd.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I sold out once.
Hey, well
I sold out Sale early show in Sale.
Sale?
Yeah, thank you, Sale. Thank you very much.
Massive Rosethorne.
Something to do with a sandwich board going down the shopping centre in the early morning. That seemed to help a lot. And giving away at my own flyers, that seems to help. But I couldn't believe my luck. Because often every poster I've ever had has had, "Curry, ticket selling fast," written on it. That's never seemed to work, but it seemed to work this time. And so many promoters have toured me and failed badly, and I really got quite badly burned because I demand a guarantee. I said, "Give me the money." Take the risk. Oh, I'm taking the guarantee, thank you. So this time I've got a guarantee, and the guy is making a mozzarella out of me. I'm getting nothing.
Is that right?
Yeah, hurtful.
Haven't you got a, you know, Harry Miller type now? No. Who can kick some ass for you on tour?
Just that bloke from some bloke from Albury's doing it.
Bloke driving a van.
Him and his missus are doing it. I just can't get that bloody funny bloke out. There's an ET thing.
And are you still doing ET, Peter?
Occasionally, yeah. Mm. By request. Bit like Nipsey Getting Bigger. You know, one of those ones that people might yell out, hey, do ET.
Right. And so what about bloke? Luna
young
Park.
Young folk haven't seen it yet.
Luna Park, always my favourite.
Of course I'm doing that.
I was. Where was the occasion
sometimes
where...
Sometimes I changed it to the show.
50 comics got up behind you and were doing Luna Park along with you on stage one night at some kind of event.
Sadly, the only thing about doing your act for 20 years non-stop and not changing material is it drives other comics insane. And in the end, they can just verbatim do your act for you.
Yeah.
And so anytime I'm doing a charity event nowadays and there's enough comics around, they will just automatically go be and stand behind me and do my bit with me.
But you could have like licensed Peter Rosethorns then. If your act is the same and everybody knows it, you could stay in the city where you live and just farm out.
I could have your empty theatres all around Australia.
You could do because
like
I
syndicated myself.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Syndicated Rosethorns.
Wogs Out of Work did that.
They
just had about five productions going around the country at once. Yeah. And we know a guy, Nick Buffalo, who was in the Sydney production, and he was playing Nick Giannopoulos' part. And for the entire part, it just said Nick Giannopoulos in the program.
Right.
And he went like, it's 5 months now. Shouldn't my name be in the program? And he went and saw Nick Giannopoulos and said, could my name be in? Presumably there's an equity ruling that it has to be the actual
actor's name.
You would
think so, yeah.
And he went and saw Giannopoulos. He said, can it be my name? And Giannopoulos has gone, mate, we don't want to confuse the punters.
It's all about me. I mean, the show.
So, you know, I don't know. Who could do Luna Park?
Oh, gee. Well, I reckon anyone, basically. A kitty could do it with enough instruction.
You don't have to pay him much. Now we're going somewhere.
That's it. That's it.
And then people will be like, geez, he looks taller on TV. You know?
Take the language out. I could do kitty matinees.
Hey, we got
serious. I'm only a sip off doing morning matinee anyway.
Serious issues. To talk about
Mad Mel.
What's going? Mad Mel. Did you see that? I just love how the celebrities are taking sides.
Oh yes,
for and against Mel. Says Rob Schneider.
Ooh.
I pledge from this day forward never to ever work with Mel Gibson.
Anti-Semite.
Do you think Mel's kicking himself there? No cameo in Juice Bigelow 3 for me.
Love Rob's work. I always have.
Dear, oh dear. See, he'll think twice before doing that again.
There we go.
Mel Gibson. All right, I'm getting more fingers than it would seem possible to fit on a hand from our producer. That means some music is imminent and more Peter Rosethorn in just a few moments. That's Pink. Who knew here at Get This? What were you guys just talking about there? Peter Rosethorn's with us.
I was talking about Max Headroom and its relation to the Dench thing that's coming up.
Dench. David Tench.
That's it.
It's not Dame Dench. Used to play for Dame Judy Dench.
Sorry.
Hosting a current affairs show.
New?
Why not?
What is this David Tench deal?
What can you tell me, Tone?
It's a cartoon bloke who interviews people.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a new idea, says Andrew Denton, obviously having never seen Space Ghost Coast to Coast on Foxtel. Hello. Is that controversial?
Is that I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the same deal. It's where Space Ghost, the old character from the 1960s, interviews celebrities.
Okay.
Oh.
So they're being interviewed. But it's like not scripted.
Okay.
It's actually for real.
Oh, right.
But I don't know. This could be a top deal.
When's it on?
So who's to say?
Yeah.
So when they do it, I presume it's taped because, characters, cartoon things aren't real, are they?
No, I'm not sure.
Sit there.
Well, I've seen a film called Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
And
they were definitely real.
Jury's still out.
It was a documentary, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, what are you saying about Max Headroom? That was an era, wasn't it? You wouldn't have been born, would you, when Max Headroom was on?
I've seen it. I was obsessed. I loved it.
It was a fantastic initial film that introduced Max Headroom's character.
And the film was made by a husband and wife directing team. Who later went on to do the awful Super Mario Brothers movie with Bob Hoskins.
And
they had a big falling out during the film, by the end of the film.
And fair enough.
And yeah, they'd seen the footage, obviously.
Yes. Got the rushes. Oh, I hate you.
That was it. Well, I'm glad we're topical.
Yeah, are we what?
That was our edgy part
of it. We should be talking about what's going on. Terror in the skies. What's going on up there?
Oh, I was petrified in my regional flight in the weekend. Anything could have happened.
Did you have to take your liquids?
I felt comfortable. I could see the pilot.
Did you have to throw out everything in the bin with liquid in it?
Yeah. Well, I didn't have to. I just did.
Where were you flying
to? Trying to make others panic around me.
Throw it all away, everyone. Nude flights. That's where we're heading. Because really, I mean, liquids. You're having to throw out all your shampoos.
Yes.
But, I mean, I don't want to frighten people, but surely you could have a tomato sauce sachet hidden in your sock or something, couldn't you, really?
They probably explode.
They do explode, don't they, those little sachets?
Well, apparently if you try and, you know, get out your car keys, that could set them off.
Well, one of the little orange juice container exploded on me just trying to open it.
Nude flights. That's where we're heading for. All nude flights. Only way to be safe in the future.
Fair enough.
And where's Tony Blair? He's on holiday flashing his tits. Look at that. He is stacked. Tony Blair is stacked.
He's got a boob debt.
Are they a man?
He's got a boob debt.
He's got a boob debt.
His entire prime ministership is one big boob dent, from what I can tell.
They're quite large, aren't they?
Look, Peter seems aroused.
Huge.
I've got a back as much.
You want to see a boob dent?
You just want to kind of walk up to him and just kind of push them from underneath, see what happens.
Nobody takes Tory spelling on in the boob dent caper.
No way.
This is a picture in the Who magazine this week. That is very disturbing. I think you'll agree, Peter.
It has got. Oh, dear.
And she's turning into Eddie Izzard, too, if you ever look at that photo.
She's always been very highly ranked as one of the ugliest women of Hollywood, hasn't she?
In 90210.
She's never been attractive.
Exactly. And on 90210, they were all hot, and it was like, God, the producer's daughter? Yeah. Come on.
Who's your dad? Oh, of course.
All right.
Yeah, where your job's coming from.
There's nothing wrong with being ugly, per se, but, you know, if you're meant to be on 90210.
No, but she's trying to pass herself off as pretty beautiful.
Yeah, that's right.
She's clearly not.
No.
Woofer.
But all eyes go to the dent.
Woofer.
Okay. Is that uncool?
That was good.
It's gone to air, Peter. There's nothing you can do about
the regionals. That's all they speak
the
at.
The regionals. That's what they like in the regionals, is it? Hey, we get so many emails on this show.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't want people to think we don't read them, because we read them all.
Every single one.
Everyone.
We can't read them all out on air, obviously. No,
especially not the ones I get to.
Not your dirty one.
No way. Yeah.
We're going to do another stock take show on Wednesday where we get through
the mail
backlog. But somebody, who's this, Rohan, has emailed in saying, can you make the Ed Cavalier theme songs, believe it or not, it's Ed Cavalier, into ringtones? We can't, because we don't own the rights to Joey Scarberry's Greatest American Hero theme, which is what
believe
that was.
Is that what you use?
Yeah. Nice. You can't help but clench both fists when that song's on.
Oh, you can't.
Look
but anyway.
At the skies.
We can't put that up as a ringtone. We have got this up as a ringtone.
Your body is one.
All right.
Why?
Drop a sandbag on me. That's not fair.
Your body.
That's what you get. I will be holding more sandbags.
By popular demand, we just cannot shake Rex Hunt off.
Oh, please.
The Rex Hunt ringtone is up there again. Every time we take it down.
Could I hear it once more? I enjoy hearing in the car.
We've got a new Rex Hunt quote.
Oh, yes. Good.
Rex, somebody's been criticising Rex and his football commentating style. Listen to
the
this
publica.
Madness that he said on the news the other night.
And the people have said, we like what you do, and while they say that, I'll continue to do it my way. Frank Sinatra, what a great song.
It's just free association there.
It is. You'll try anything. It's a live one.
Just mentioning Frank Sinatra.
That's what a fool does.
Whatever. Because, you know, at the end of the day,
the girl's happy.
That's true. Look, stop it. Haven't we moved on?
No.
That's so 4 months ago.
It is.
Still so good.
What else are we for? Oh, look, over the weekend, the Big Brother. We should be doing Where Are They Now? The Big Brother housemates.
Yeah, where are
they
now?
Should, yeah.
Doesn't it seem so long ago?
Yeah.
It's only about a week ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're gone. They are gone.
Jamie was at Falls Creek up in the snow. I think the turkey slappers were there as well.
Oh, good. Good
and
to see them getting more of a profile.
No sign of Katie.
Oh, no.
Is the romance over?
No, don't say it.
Because these photos in last week's New Weekly would suggest otherwise. Look at that, Pete.
Oh, okay.
That's Katie
I know
topless
who you're talking about now. Right.
And Jamie in bed together.
Cool. That's not set up. That's a natural shot.
So does this mean, because, it's fairly blue photo, so does this mean she's still a virgin? I still am, confirms Katie. I definitely am. I have to know that it's the right person. I'm just not going to give it away.
Oh,
don't you love that, talking about your
give
virginity as the word it in a national magazine?
Give it away now.
But what about Crystal and Galen? Remember them?
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Did you read last week about their post-Big Brother shagathon?
You've got to have one of them.
That's the headline.
I'm going to have one this afternoon.
Was it the charity? Or just
it's a charity shag, mate. Nothing tacky. Galen's best friend, Brent. So this isn't your usual anonymous insider's sources, onlookers, friends, pals.
A named best friend.
A named best friend.
Wow.
Never happened before.
Okay.
Brent says the pair, that's Crystal and Galen of the post-Big Brother Shagathon fame, have been inseparable since Crystal's eviction. According to Brent, they spent the night together at the first opportunity and have had several steamy sessions since.
Steamy?
They're going good, he adds. They've been spending quality time together, quantity time by the sounds of it, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, hang on, the brother's on board. Ooh. Galen's brother, Rory. Sorry about this, Melissa, out in the sales department. She'll be very upset to hear about
that. Is Galen's brother, Rory, quite as horse-faced as the man himself?
Sure, if he's sporting a feed bag. Galen's brother, Rory, confirms the pair have been extremely busy.
When they do. When they do meet up, they get along well and enjoy some nocturnal activities.
It's your own brother talking about that.
The family hanging outside the door.
What I love is
cheering you on.
This is last week's new weekly that I'm working from. Yeah. And I stole it off Ed's desk.
I know.
And on the back, here's an article about Posh Spice. And then there's just one paragraph that's been yellow. So this is obviously what Ed was going to use on the show, never got round to.
Oh, yeah, what was it say?
Let's see what Ed highlighted this week.
All right.
And now it seems Beckham's past has come back to haunt him, with Emma and her twin sister Eve invited to be contestants on Love Island after both got 34 double D boobs on a UK plastic surgery show 2 years ago. How could you not squeeze that into the show, Ed?
Sorry.
Let's go.
I don't remember what it was about. I think 34 double D got my attention.
Obviously, you thought that there. Potential gold. And just
as
one
as I'm
more.
Doing work.
One story we didn't get to from the New Weekly last what week. That's how much raw material they provide. Drunk celebs, boozy David Hasselhoff. Oh. As you know, we were talking about his classy move, trying to convince people he wasn't drunk by just waving from a golf cart as it towed him through an airport.
The only way.
I never saw the close-up. Look at that. He's pissed himself.
Oh, no.
Adding to his shame, the Hoff appeared to have wet himself. And they've just got a giant photo of his groin.
All wetty baguette.
Should that be the cover of the new Hasselhoff album?
The Hoff man.
Hoff it off. Oh, all right. That's classy. That's last week's news out of the way. That's how up to date we are. Let's drag this show into the present. That'll be next. Get this.
Whatever their motivation, there is nothing positive to be gained out of this.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito on Triple M.
Let's get this around the nation on Triple M. Ed, I understand you've prepared your usual customary musical treat for this part of the program.
To be honest, Tony, I'm not really sure what I've prepared, so I'm just going to improvise. One, two, three, four.
This sounds like a record that we're playing from the record library.
I just do what I feel, man. I'm still not sure what this is, but we'll get there in the end.
There you go. Found it.
Oh.
That'd be those chisels here at Get This. Good morning, everybody. Sorry, if you're just joining us, Ed Cavalier's here. Peter Rosethorpe's here.
Yes, I'm here.
Richard Marsland is here pushing buttons.
How you doing,
Tone? Good. Hey, let's talk about movies, because we hardly ever do.
No.
Jack Thompson has declared that the Australian film industry is in strife. He obviously hasn't heard about Yobbo's Up the Guts.
The saviour.
Yobbo's Up the Guts.
You've not heard about it?
No, who's doing that?
Bill Hunter, Warwick Capper, Mike Jacko.
Oh, sorry, Central Australia, certainly have, sorry.
Running Wild in the Northern Territory. That is going to single-handedly save the film industry. That's my prediction.
Absolutely.
I'm extremely happy that a Russian can also recognise Warwick Capper's complete tool and bash him.
That was creative differences, Peter. Don't reduce it to that.
Please.
Sorry.
Who saw a movie on the weekend? Did you see one, Peter?
I was sitting in a hotel room at Regionals. And I was watching, I think it was on Movie One, one of those sort of, you know, star, you know, what, anyway, cable.
Yeah.
So it was blue? It wasn't blue. It was an American movie about a Jewish kid who'd sort of become a skinhead or become a sort of, you know, a neo-Nazi.
Oh, is that one with Ryan Gosling called The Believer?
It might have been.
The Believer. That's supposed to be really good, if controversial.
Ooh. Fell asleep halfway through.
Not the one where Frodo is a skinhead. Have you seen that one?
No.
Is there a Scottish accent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Green Street Hooligans or something it's called.
Is that pre-Frodo? Oh, exactly. Oh, it's post-Frodo.
But he's always Frodo now. He looks like Frodo and everything.
Frodo's playing poker. I saw Frodo playing poker on Star Poker the other day.
There's an ad where he's on a plane. Not with any liquids. Just on a plane. Yeah. And he's playing Elijah Wood, and someone's talking to him. It's for Apple Computers, and it's Frodo.
Yeah.
It's just always going to be Frodo.
Frodo got gypped. He got paid $250,000 for the three movies.
Oh,
ow, chihuahua.
Yeah.
Oh. He got paid in Hobbit sandwiches. He got paid in second breakfast.
Pointy ears.
Tip your ears.
Tip your ears, mate.
Hey, I'll just chuck him in.
I watched Crocodile Dundee, which was on
what?
TV.
Now, why would you watch that? And is it because we were talking about that Linda Kozlowski's
screen
on the show? You went, I better catch up with that.
Well, my flatmate was on the phone when the film was on, and he was trying to get off the phone because he wanted to watch Crocodile Dundee, but he didn't want to say that's what he was doing. So he was like, good one, mate. Alex, gotta go. And he hung up, and he's like, geez, mate, I almost missed one of the classic scenes of Australian cinema. Cue Linda Kozlowski in the G-string.
There it is.
How did that become a classic movie scene?
It's good, though. The whole thing stands up, I reckon, remarkably well.
Did you stick around for Croc 2?
I had to go out.
Oh, Croc 2 was terrible.
What happened in Croc 2? There's some gangsters, isn't there?
Croc 1 was good. And it was one of those movies where it's slow, but slow works for it.
That was very good, yeah.
And then the second one, isn't he like in a gang?
No. And then there's Colombian drug dealers.
Oh, yeah.
And in true movie Colombian drug dealer style, all of their drug deals take place during the day in the middle of a field, you know, out the back of a car.
And then it just ends. The whole last, like, half hour of Croc 2 is like a shootout in the outback. It's like an episode of Daktari or something. There's not a single joke at all. Hang on, we mentioned Colombian drug dealers. Turn on our producer, Nikki Hamilton's mic. I know she hates it, but didn't you see the new Miami Vice? She's a bit off. Look, not even plugged in.
It's the whole
don't worry,
studio.
Mate. The text will still say it's on spec. It's on spec, mate. Plug it in. Well done.
Hello.
There she is.
What's the new Miami Vice like?
A bit slow, there are no flamingos.
No flamingo.
It's your Michael Mann. Yeah. And
no music. The music.
He's good in, you know,
there's no 80s soundtrack at all. Mm. There's no 80s soundtrack. There is?
No.
It's Colin Farrell. How overrated is what is the fuss about?
Oh, but he's so moody.
He's so great. Why does he just keep being in remakes of TV shows like SWAT for if he's
and
so
he's
great?
He's got a very distracting moustache, you know?
Oh, moustache.
Dear, oh dear.
That moustache is up for a Golden Globe, though. But I saw a doco in the Melbourne International Film Festival, which was Choice, called Cocaine Cowboys, which was about the cocaine trade in Miami. You're all looking at me. Anyway, they said that when Miami Vice started filming, all the money had flooded out of Miami, and Miami Vice would go into a dilapidated nightclub, do it up to shoot a scene, and then leave. And then people would be like, "Hey, you know what? I'm gonna stay here and use it." So they reckon that Miami Vice filming the TV show helped boost Miami's profile again.
There you go.
Right, and it's on Foxtel all over again.
Oh, is it?
And it's as pastel-y and colourful as ever. It's looking good. I reckon it's coming back. It's
really?
Coming round again.
Good.
It's time for those blokes to put out new solo albums. But so the new one no good. Gloomy, slow, is it?
It's trying to be gritty, isn't it?
It's no Croc Dundee.
It's Michael Mann, though. Is there no tricks up the sleeve, though?
No, there's a little bit of boat action, but not much else.
Okay. Okay. What about you, Marsla? What did you see?
I went and saw the latest installment of the 7-Up series, 49-Up.
Are those people dead yet?
No, they're still going.
Are they still going?
They take me like a week to get over the 7-Up film.
Have they stopped whinging yet?
Have they stopped complaining?
42 years in, they're only now just starting to get the shits with Michael Apted.
Oh, I'm sick of being in these documentaries. Well, it's too late now. We've all committed to them. You've got to hang in. You can't just go.
Has anyone gone off the rails, Rich?
Well, there was Neil a few years ago. He went homeless and stuff. And I mean, I don't want to spoil any fun.
But has he come good? Oh, right. So
he kind of has.
Crying Game style surprise.
Yeah, any sex change?
Yeah.
There's a shower scene or two. But apart from that,
nothing's new. New direction. I like it.
Each film has its own twist, and I would say in terms of shocking news, it's not one of the best in the series, but it's just amazing the way life keeps on.
And you've seen them all.
You're right.
You've gone all the way from 7-Up.
I tuned in around 28. I went and got all the movies. 28, because, you know, the first film's like 25 minutes long.
No, I just love all their early stuff.
Yeah. Is it the first example of reality TV?
Definitely.
But pre the there's no.
There was a guy, an artist in the 60s, who filmed himself living in a room with a coyote for a week. That was the first one ever.
That's got sizzle.
And the coyote freaked out.
And what happened when they got out? nightclub appearances for the Coyote and then just slowly disappear.
The Coyote's brother said they were having steamy shagathons.
I saw Hustle and Flow on the weekend because I craved a crunk.
Did you?
I just can't get enough crunk.
Who's in Hustle and Flow?
It's that guy, Terrence Howard, always good. But who's the woman in it? How good was she?
Yeah, she was awesome.
I don't even know her name.
Neither do I.
No, she's great. That one.
Bring in.
But it's good because I love any movie where the plot is a bloke decides to staple egg cartons all over the walls of his house and turn it into a recording studio. Yeah. Pretty much any film with that plot and I'll
watch
it.
Living the dream.
Living the dream.
The eggs those guys had to eat for the weeks before that, it was ridiculous.
But if you like the crunk, it's the best crunk movie that's out.
Oh,
wouldn't you agree?
No, nah, Fear of a Black Hat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Old one from the 90s.
Oh, wasn't
like a parody.
So wasn't that sort of like a rip-off of Spinal Tap, but with...
Yes, you say everything is a rip-off of Spinal Tap. On some, at some point, you were going on and on about how Citizen Kane was a rip-off of Spinal Tap.
Well, it was. All right. Charlie Foster Kane, up to 11. He was always up to 11, Charlie Foster Kane. See, that was the era, another thing we were talking about off air, when you wanted to make someone look old, Citizen Kane, greatest movie ever made, just... draw some felt pen lines onto your forehead. There you go. That'll do.
That'll do. Cutting edge.
That'll do it.
Still works.
Play-Doh on the face for Heath Ledger in Brokeback Mountain.
Is that no good?
No dice.
I still haven't seen that movie.
It's great.
It sounds to me like he's doing the voice of the old guy from The Simpsons. I wore a beard of bees for that woman. Is that what he's doing in Brokeback Mountain?
You got to get inspiration from somewhere, Tone.
Have we gone way over, Nicky? Have we gone longer than the new Miami Vice? All right. Let's go up a mountain and that'll be next. I'll get this. Bernard Fanning, keen to wish you well here at Get This on Triple M Around the Nation, brought to you by the Mercedes-Benz Vito. That's right, the Vito. We need some new classy music for the Vito. I think the Kill Bill soundtrack, Volume 1, has run its course.
Yeah.
Can you compose something overnight, Mr. Marsland?
Me, myself?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I've got a digital drum kit at home. I could give something a shot.
You've never told us that before.
Well... yeah, but I can't record. I haven't got recording facilities on my digital drum kit.
Not up to spec?
Play it live. Bring it in, play it live.
Yeah. Bring it in tomorrow.
Play it live.
Fleety's going to be here. Greg Fleet.
It's like a 14-man operation, though, to put the thing together.
Fine.
Okay. Bring him in. 14 men.
Yeah. It's for the Mercedes-Benz Vito. It's a classy old van at the normal van price. It's the least you can do, I would have thought. Hit that button. What does that do? Peter Rosethorne is with us as we climb Talkback Mountain. Do you have a mobile phone, Peter? Have you got one of those?
Yes, I have, yeah.
A lot of people have them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have one too?
I don't have one. I've seen them, though. I've heard of them.
Look at you hanging off like a groovy guy.
See, I don't want to go and buy one because who knows what will be on there. Have you seen what's happening? People are buying mobile phones and they've got, you know... filthy messages, blue photos.
And supposedly cool. New mobile
yes,
phones.
Yes, supposedly new.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I apologise for everyone. I didn't mean to do it.
Some of the worst cases include a man who found personal messages and pictures on his new phone that I couldn't describe in this time slot.
Really?
A demonstration phone shown to a customer and then wrapped up and sold as new. Xbox players have bought new games that were used and damaged. A woman who almost called off her wedding after finding intimate text messages on a so-called new mobile phone. Hang on, what is that? Hang on. So that's, they're not like from her...
to herself.
No. Her fiancé.
I'm calling off my wedding. Oh, no. I love these messages.
Maybe that's why. Right. So is that... how does that work, though? So who's put them on there? Like the people at the shop?
Yeah, people at the factory, maybe.
Ah. So the guy at the factory is just, check out me bum, put that in a packet. Hey, Barry, get a shot of that.
Yes, if you will. Look, there you go. Got it.
Check out me bum.
Hey, that's a new segment.
Check out me bum. Anything's
a potential new segment. So is that what we're going to talk about? What have you bought that's dodgy?
Fair enough. Well, we used to buy these delicious water-based, you know, like icy poles called Sky Bombers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the green ones were disgusting, but the red ones were delicious, of course.
Sure.
So we would ride in to Sky Bomber and say, "Dear Sky Bomber, we love your product, but we're sick of the green ones. Please put more red ones in."
What sad sand kid does that?
I don't understand how that's something dodgy. There wasn't enough red ones.
No, but we worked out that then they would send us a few boxes of Sky Bombers.
Yeah.
So then we would just write letters to any old company. "Dear Kit Kat, could they be tastier?" Yeah. And they just send us Kit Kats.
"Dear Mr. Ferrari, I like cars."
Have you bought something that's dodgy, Peter Rosethorne?
I bought a house
in
Perth that was a little bit dodgy.
In what way?
Well, we opened the front door, and within the first 15 minutes, I reckon 7 planes flew over the top of the house.
Very, very low.
Right, he's bought it, he's signed, send him over.
Did you buy an aircraft hangar by any chance?
Just about. They've seen that, like, you can see the wheels quite clearly.
Oh, man. I bought a house that was made of paper. I didn't realise.
Really?
It was a weatherboard house that was had rotted so much that it was basically made of paper.
The paint was holding it.
And they just painted over it. And you could just, if you locked yourself out, you could just push your way into the house at any juncture, basically.
Pass me the keys, will you? No, just through the wall.
There's so many. When you're a kid, you're always, you know, the things in the comics, obviously, we've talked about them before. Yeah, the X-ray glasses. Oh. Remember the X-ray glasses?
Never worked.
What was the ad? Do you remember the ad?
No.
A bloke looking at his hand and he could see the bones in his hand.
That's right. I'll give you a picture of it.
Yep. Lurking on the horizon, tantalizing a sort of woman in a bikini. Imagine what you could do if you had the glasses. You get the glasses and print it on the inside of the lenses. A little picture of the bones of your hand.
Were they?
That's what it was.
They work.
So you look at your hand.
They're working.
Dodgy. What have you bought, Mr. Marsden?
Well, a friend of mine purchased a CD from a shop. It was like all the music of John Williams.
Right.
Fantastic.
Yeah. You know,
John Williams, all the Steven Spielberg movies.
Oh, the composer, John Williams.
I was thinking, like, Hey, True Blue.
Yeah, I was good point. E.T. and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
All the big films, and he got it home, and it wasn't until he opened it, read the fine print, as performed on panpipes. By some orchestra somewhere.
My mum was a massive Achy Breaky Heart fan. And she got it. She's like, hey, look, I got Achy Breaky Heart. I was like, oh, geez, that doesn't look like Billy Ray Cyrus, Mum. And it was by, like, the Children's Tabernacle Choir or somewhere.
It's the first time I've heard of someone being disappointed to discover their CD wasn't by Billy Ray Cyrus. Yeah. I saw the worst. We love bad headlines on this show.
Yeah.
All for McNaught.
Knife in the head.
What was that? Where's the pun in that?
There isn't one.
It's a movie, isn't it?
Attention grabbing. Knife in the head.
He's Hodinkee Die. I saw the worst one ever on the weekend.
What?
Lachey Breaky Heart.
Oh.
Ouch. Oh. Nick Lachey. Because when you ride it, it looks like, nah, it's not even working if you ride it, is it? Did you see that thing where he was on It Takes Two a couple of weeks ago? Nick Lachey.
Oh, yeah.
And in case you didn't know who he was, in the trailer, they have Jessica Simpson appear behind him and then disappear.
Ooh.
How's that?
Oh, that guy.
It's like Art Garfunkel. In case you don't remember, look, Paul Simon. Gone. How embarrassing.
Very embarrassing.
All right. What have you bought this dodgy?
Yep.
Call us up. Tell us now. 133353. Oh, that's Chris Isaac, and it's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. With the pants down, we're trying to put a segment together, Wallace and Gromit style, laying down the tracks just before we get to that bit of the...
Let's do it.
Yeah, get up there. Peter Rosethorne is with us as we ask, what have you bought that's dodgy? Who's on the line, Ed?
Hola, Daniel.
Hey, how are you?
Good, man. What did you buy that was dodgy?
I had a Christmas present that had two left rollerblades in it.
Two left rollerblades.
Yeah, I tried fighting it, obviously, and it was just all wonky and, yeah.
you still had a go.
Yeah, these are hard.
Go.
Well done. Yeah,
Christmas was overwhelming. We just put them on and tried to give them a go, and, yeah, two left
feet. Fell over. Just went round in circles.
Sounds like he might have bought a dodgy mobile phone.
Yeah, there, thank you, Daniel. Hello, Michael.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good, thanks, man. What did you buy that was dodge?
Mate, I bought a computer from a reputable dealer, and when we plugged it in at home, had some guy's business files on it, trip to Canada and South Africa, some lovely spa shots of them enjoying the snow, and I actually took it back down to him. It was one of the guys who worked in the actual shop. He downloaded all these programs onto the computer that was on the shop floor, and unfortunately, someone boxed it up and gave it to us.
Oh. Why would he do that, though? Just to see...
Because it was funny.
Do his tax at the shop window. Save some time.
Lovely spa shots. Lucky you.
And I watched Crocodile Dundee just to see Linda Kozlowski as well.
Yes. Thank you, Michael.
Just seen that. After that. Yeah.
I have never heard such...
It's hot. It's
pro Kozlowski fervor.
It's hot.
It's funny. It's on the funny side of hot. Not really hot.
Yeah, it's borderline.
And it's hot.
Hello, Cameron.
How are we?
Hey, mate. What did you buy that was Dodge?
Oh, it was around the 90s when the mixtape was all the rage.
Oh, yes.
and I bought a blank mixtape and took the or blank tape rather, yeah. took the wrapping off it and everything like that. Put it in and it had Cotton Eye Joe on it.
You know, insult to injury right there. A, it was pre-recorded. B, it was Cotton Eye Joe. Didn't go into the Macarena.
No, not quite.
Oh, that's great. Well, that was lucky because you were going to tape Cotton Eye Joe on it anyway. So,
yeah.
Made life easy. Thank you, Cameron. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, man, gents, how are you?
Very, very good. So, what did you buy? Hey. It was Dodge.
Yeah, mate, I was in New York once and I got accosted by this nice Negro young fella and he wanted me to buy his rap tape for $10. So, I had no choice but to buy it because I thought he might have had a gun down his pants.
Yeah, well,
right.
And, behold, I listened to the tape and there was nothing actually on the tape, but a number was on the back, so I decided to ring the number and the guy wanted me to buy some marijuana off him.
Good single.
And when I smoked the marijuana, I couldn't stop singing Cotton Eye Joe.
Thank you, Daniel.
It's an elaborate system, that one.
It's good, though. It's good. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're good. So what did you buy that was Dodge?
I bought my son a tape, like something about a turtle, and at the end of the kid's tape, there was porno.
How does this happen? No, you hear this so often. How does it happen?
And they just taped over a porno. There was my son's tape and my tape.
Right. And what kind of explanation did you come out with for the youngster?
He went and had breakfast and I sat and had my coffee.
When two turtles really love each other. Well, thank you, Stephen. I have to say, sorry to the people we couldn't get to. There's someone who bought Oz from McDonald's. No meat in it.
No meat. Maybe Shane Warne had got to it. Because, you know, he likes to take the meat patty out.
Chip sandwich.
It doesn't want that healthy
stuff. Just puts the chips in, makes a chip sandwich.
Oh, he throws the meat away.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all in spun out by Paul Barry.
There we go.
He's gone to the lowest of low, that Paul.
They say he's scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Tony, look at the time.
Are we actually on time?
We're on time.
We're not on time. We're close to on time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. Maybe we should look through the new wiki some more.
Let's just see how long we can keep the end music going.
Mm. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're done.
It's just finished already.
Let's just say nothing for a while.
We do that, yeah? All right, six down.
Yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. Thing about the penny farthing, writing it. Did we do that?
No. When will I come in next?
Yeah.
When's my next go?
Have you got your invoice?
You're a regular, so...
Am I a regular?
Anytime in the next six months.
I'll see you in 4 weeks.
Now they're repairing the glass and they're not happy! All right. Thank you, Peter Roselord, for coming in.
Been a pleasure always.
Thanks for everyone who called us in, even the people who couldn't get on air. Yes. And don't forget, the podcast is up on the website. It's Bacon Filled. And our key phrase today was...
Pro Kozlowski Feather.
And we'll be back tomorrow with, Greg Fleet. Yeah. And it's all thanks to the Mercedes-Benz Vito Fan of the Year. Yeah.